Do you want your glasses, Daz?
Fuck you. I do, actually. I was trying to write the notes earlier without them on. I was like, shit. Shut up.
You look like, one of the two Ronnies.
After I'm not even going to ask which one, you fucker. Anyway. Hello. And welcome to episode 20.
Episode 20
of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure. Can you believe it?
Nearly 20? Half a year, Darren. Nearly half a year we've been doing this.
Feels so much longer.
You absolute git.
Yeah. Here we are. Episode 20. Welcome.
Have you enjoyed it so far?
No.
No, it's been horrible, hasn't it?
It's been shit.
Yeah. What can we do to mix up the format? Maybe drink more?
Okay.
Yeah,
let's do it. Yeah. Well, who are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm Matt.
And I am Darren. And this week,
yes,
we're going to be doing our first Spielberg and Williams film.
But it's a bit weird that we've done this one, isn't it?
Do you think so?
Well, it's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom.
Yep.
But so it's not the first Indiana Jones films of the 80s. But it is.
It is the first Indiana Jones film.
It's weird they went back, isn't it, and did a prequel to...
Well, I mean, I get it. You know, he says he didn't want to do a film just about Nazis again, so...
That's one of my questions gone, right?
Sorry. Damn me for doing research.
I hate it when you do research.
I know. Anyway, here we are, yeah. Well, let's not fanny around. Should we just go straight for some facts from 1984?
Let's do that.
Okay.
All right, Darren, so I decided, since we got to episode 20, that I should try and mix it up for you a little bit. Keep it interesting. It's almost like a marriage, keeping it fresh.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Apparently so.
Shit, that's what I'm going wrong.
So this time, I've done some 1984 facts, but I've mixed them in with some I made up myself or adjusted.
Okay.
So some are true and some are false.
Right. And do I have to guess these facts?
Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. So we can talk about the fact, but also you have to guess whether it's true or false.
And if I get it wrong?
No. Well, I tell you what, drink. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah. Why not? We're keeping the marriage fresh, right?
It's fresh. Exciting.
So in 1984, so there was the first solo transatlantic balloon flight. It was completed.
Okay. Well, I have to guess if that's true or false.
Yeah.
The first transatlantic balloon flight.
Do you remember it being in the news?
No. But surely, Around the World in 80 Days was about 100 years before that.
Oh, there we go then.
So I'm going to say false.
No, it was true. It was absolutely true. So the first solo,
really?
Yeah. Mm. 1984, the first solo transatlantic balloon flight. Speaking of balloons, the Guinness World Record for a water balloon was the throw. A water balloon, so getting a water balloon chucking it, was in May 1984, and the distance was 67 metres.
Is this another fact?
Yeah.
Yeah, 67 metres for a water balloon.
Mm.
True.
False. Oh. That was my fact.
You sir are a dick.
Why did this not happen during RoboCop? All right, Matt Smith, the future Doctor Who, was born in 1984.
True.
False. He was born in 1982. Drink.
Oh, you're a dick. Oh, he's 29. When he got 27. Oh, you fuck.
This is going really well, actually.
Drink doesn't affect me, old fucking glass.
You haven't got any out of the first three, have you?
You're a twat.
Okay.
It's all going towards quids at the end.
All right. John Hughes gave us 16 candles.
Who gives a fuck? True.
Yes, true.
Drink,
I'll tell you what,
bastard.
I will drink. Okay. There was a makeup artist strike in Texas. Channel TE47 had a pay dispute and newsreaders had to do their own makeup, resulting in a male newsreader being pranked by a co-worker and appearing on air with mascara.
True.
False. Oh. I made that one up. Thank you very much.
I don't like this game. Just go back to actual facts.
And the final fact, or is it, is Alex Jeffries. Actually, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Alex Jeffries did develop DNA testing. So, yeah, that was true.
Okay.
So those are my facts and non-real facts of 1984.
You, sir, are an arsehole.
Well, I tell you what. Do you like that?
No.
No, because you had to drink.
What'd you call me?
That's a real hardship. Well, I tell you what, then give us some real, real hits of the 1980s then, Daz.
Mike. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was first released in the USA on the 8th of May, 1984. And so this week, we're looking at the top 10 UK charts for the week commencing the 6th of May, 1984. At number 10, falling 6 places from last week's number 4, it's Lionel Richie and Hello. At number 9, climbing 19 places from last week's 28, it's Kenny Loggins and Footloose. It's a non-mover at number 8 for Blancmange and Don't Tell Me. And it's another non-mover at number 7, it's The Flying Pickets and When You're Young and In Love. At number 6, climbing 3 places, it's Bob Marley and the Wailers, One Love, People Get Ready. And at number 5, it's last week's number 6, it's Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark and Locomotion. At number 4, up from last week's number 5, it's The Pointer Sisters and Automatic. Into the top 3, it's a non-mover for Queen and I Want to Break Free. It's another non-mover at number 2 for Phil Collins and Against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now. Which means last week's number 1 is this week's number 1, it's Duran Duran and The Reflex. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing 6th of May, 1984. Not a bad shot, is it?
It's not a bad shot at all, but I know we say this every week, but there's some great songs in there.
Yeah, it's 1984 again.
I must say, I don't know who Blancmange are. Lionel Richie as well, though. Hello. Lionel, I know you love that song as well, don't you?
Yeah, that song... Oh, it's a special... You lot have no idea why we're laughing, and you'll never know.
You will never know, unless you subscribe to Patreon.
Whoa, you'll never know.
You'll never know.
But looking at the rest of the top 30, wow, I mean, you've got Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Relax, The nice. Longest Time from Billy Joel, You Take Me Up, Thompson Twins, Just Be Good to Me, the SOS Band, Let's Hear It for the Boy, Denise Williams, Somebody Else's Guy, Jocelyn Brown, Dancing Girls, Nick Kershaw, Under Lebanon from Human League. What a chart.
That is a... Yeah, it is.
1984, it's a top year for music.
And the thing is, we covered that with Nightmare on Elm Street as well. It's a wonderful, wonderful year. And actually, during our Patreon, we are working through some of the songs of the 80s. If you want to hear that, then go to patreon.com/80s adventure and hear what we've got to say about 1981.
Yeah, we've done 1981 so far, our top 5 songs each. Yeah, from 1981.
And I got absolutely roasted over one of them. Darren, I'm excited.
I can see.
Hey. it's just... Episode 20, it's a landmark, but also it's our first Spielberg and our first John Williams.
I can't believe we waited 20 weeks to do a Spielberg, let alone a John Williams.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I can't wait. I think the music section this week is just going to be us gushing. So, do you want to do initial impressions? Or?
No, I can't do impressions.
Oh, okay. So initial impressions or straight into the sum up of it?
What do you reckon? Well, let's do initial impressions. We normally do.
I really liked it. But it's a different film to what I remember, if I'm honest.
Okay.
In my head, I've got this vision of what Temple of Doom is growing up. I mustn't have watched it for a long time because I was like, I can't remember this. Loads of it I couldn't remember.
Right.
And it's not taking the sheen off for me, but this pedestal I put this film on as I was growing up, still up there, but I was like, it's a different film than the one I remember.
I get where you're coming from with that, and I'm sort of the same. I love the film, and for me, it's the best one of the four, and I still think that, but I think it's way too fucking long.
Yeah.
It's too long, it sags in the middle. I mean, the good bits are really fucking good.
Aren't they? Yeah. For me, it just took a long while to get going.
Mm-hmm.
I still liked it, but I'm like, wow, it's not the film that I built it up to be in my head.
Right. But to be fair, I suppose it's 36 years old, all practical, almost all practical.
Yeah, yeah, almost. Do you know what? I think it probably still is the best film of the three.
Mm-hmm. Four.
No, the three.
Nearly five.
But I still think it is probably the best, but I'd be interested to see if I change my mind when we do the others.
Okay.
Because it might well happen, because I always remember Crusade being really, really good as well.
I love them all. Even number 4, the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I know, I really enjoyed it. Maybe it's the fanboy in me, maybe it's the... I don't know.
There was really bits I liked, but there was other bits that I went, oh, for fuck's sake.
Absolutely, absolutely. But anyway, we're talking about number 2.
Or number 1.
Oh, yeah.
That's the weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, should we just go? Should we just do it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, regulars, as you know.
Oh, trying to put me off now, you fucker. Anyway, regular listeners will know at this point in the podcast, Matt has to sum up the film, and he gets as many seconds as the film has minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that fucking down to a take now.
Yeah, you do, yeah. Oh, well done. It's only taken point. 20 weeks.
Fuck you. How long was the film?
1 hour, 58 minutes.
1 hour, 50. Oh, you're rounding up here. Okay. So,
well, it says 1 hour, 58 on IMDb.
So you have 1 minute, 58 seconds to give us the synopsis of the film.
I tell you what.
Yeah?
Let's make it 157, just because you're being like that.
Ooh. Jeez, are you on? Right. Right then. Mm-hmm. So you have 1 minute 57 seconds to give us a synopsis of the film.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Let's have the jingle. And go.
After shit goes down at a deal gone wrong in Shanghai, Indy finds himself escaping from Lao Che with the singer from the club, Willie. And Short Round, a young lad that Indiana had befriended a while ago. Indy, Short Round and Willie escape in an airplane that's owned by Lao Che, and therefore the pilots jump out with parachutes and they find themselves about to crash into a mountain with no means of escape as there is no more parachutes. He fashions a life-saving escape using a raft, and after a safe landing they end up at a village in India. And there the village enlists his help to retrieve a stone that was stolen from them and taken to the palace. At the palace, there is a bit of a confrontational dinner where Willie can't eat anything and Indy pushes a few buttons. It looks like Indy's going to have sexy time with Willie, but that exchange might possibly be about to happen, and assassin tries to kill Indy. All this leads to our heroic three finding a secret entrance to a tunnel. They see the village people enslaved, and also a sacrifice before all three end up captured. Short Round and Willie first, and Indy as he manages to collect the three stones, one of which is the village's. Indy's forced to drink something which makes him obedient to the High Priest, and Willie is about to be sacrificed when Short Round saves the day by burning Indy. They make an escape in a minecart in a bloody awesome sequence and end up outside running from the guards. They find themselves at a rope bridge, and Indy's in the middle with the guards either side. He slices the bridge. A lot of people get messed up by alligators. Indy, Willie and Short Round escape with the stones and make it back to the village where our heroes share a kiss and an elephant soaking. Doo-doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo.
So how long was the film again?
Well, 158, but let's call it 157.
Okay, so you have 1 minute, 57 seconds to sum up the film.
Honestly, if it's like that second on.
That'd be funny. You did it in, drum roll, 138.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're way under again. Like I say, the film's too fucking long. But
yeah.
You know, for that, I will drink more. Here we go.
Righty ho then.
Righty dokey. So, no watch with mother this week again.
No, watch with mother. But it was a good watch, and I must admit, so I've got a real gripe, Darren. A real gripe. We've done 20 of these now, and we pay for streaming services, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you bloody find a good 80s film on a streaming service? No, you can't.
That's the problem I've always had with a certain Flexnet.
Yeah.
We won't mention them by name.
No, not at all.
No.
Same as, so I won't mention them, but it rhymes with Flamazon Flying.
I've never heard of them. But yeah, every time we think, right, let's watch a film,
do
a little search. It's not on there.
No, this is it.
What is the fucking point of these services?
It's not until you actually go deeper and find a film that you want to watch that you're like, oh, where is it?
So, what's the point?
I obviously legally obtained a copy to watch. When it started, I thought I'd got a wrong copy because I thought, oh, I've got like a dub version
for Tango and Cash.
Yeah. Yeah. And it started with Willie, didn't it, singing away? Mm-hmm. And yeah, what a good opening.
Yeah, it's a great opening. I really like it. It's a really strong opening for me.
Yeah.
It's
old Hollywood.
It's Busby Berkeley, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, what you said.
Busby Berkeley was the guy responsible for all those big old musicals and all the spectacular. And it's Spielberg doing a Busby Berkeley, and I fucking adore it. Absolutely adore the opening. I think it's fantastic.
Mm. Well, that's just made me think he's doing West Side, isn't he?
He is. I think it's due out in December. Hopefully. Who knows?
December 2025.
Oh, damn.
It was a really strong opening. Mm. Also, this is going to sound really weird.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the opening to Condor Man.
God. Okay.
That's a film we have to do.
At all.
Well, Condor Man is in his, I think, you know, very much a James Bondy type thing.
Yes.
He's sat in a club. There wasn't a big dance number that I remember, but yeah, for some reason I went, oh, Condor Man.
Yeah, because I mean, she looks just like Michael Crawford. Yeah, for anyone who's not seen Condor Man,
I've got a special place for it. I know we'll do it one day. We'll probably tear it to shreds, yeah. But I've got a real special place for Condor Man.
Yeah, I do too. I've got, yeah, fun. It's up there for me with Digby, the biggest dog in the world.
Have you ever heard of Super Snooper as well?
No.
It was a guy that he was exposed to gamma or something like that when a space rocket took it. Gammon.
Gammon?
Basically, he ate a pig.
We've all done that.
So he was, whoa! Episode 20, folks. So,
that went straight over his head.
No, I got it. I just moved on. There was like a space shuttle taking off, right? And he gets exposed to some sort of gamma radiation or something. He's got superpowers. So Super Snooper, he's called.
Okay.
And
he's got gamma radiation.
Yeah, he's got gamma radiation. Nice. And whenever he sees red, he can't, his powers go. So like,
that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. But it's up there with those but those ridiculous films of the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is one of them. I don't know why we went on that tangent.
No. So yeah, we got that great opening number, and then if anything goes, and then the real sort of classic bad guy, good guy meeting scene, deal gone wrong.
Yep.
I love it. I mean, how good, I'm just going to gush a lot in this, how good is Harrison Ford?
He's just cool. He oozes coolness.
He's so good. So good. A pain in the ass to work with by the sounds of it.
Yeah, from what I've heard, yeah. But
you know, it's, oh God, he's amazing.
I know, men want to be him, women want to be with him. That's you can see that, though.
Yeah.
He's just so charismatic, isn't he?
It's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And everything he does is so well thought through. We'll go into that later. But yeah, I think he's fantastic. In every scene he's in, just amazing. They're all really good. But so, you know, you get the deal gone wrong.
Mm.
The classic good guy, bad guy thing, as I said. The naughty foreigners, which is maybe a trope that luckily they've got rid of. I remember a lot in the 80s, the foreigners were like, you know, the British guy, the German guy, or the Chinese guy.
Oh, yeah.
They were always the baddies.
Yeah, yeah.
As we'll see in a few weeks when we do a certain Christmas Not Christmas film.
Oh, we've got so many good films.
Little spoilers.
We've got so many good films coming up.
Yeah.
That escape from the club as well is just brilliant.
Superb. Absolutely superb. I love it. It's classic adventure movie serials from the 30s, 40s, and just brought bang up to date at the time.
Well, that's definitely a winning combination of George Lucas and Spielberg, isn't it? Because Lucas, for all his faults, whatever you may feel about Star Wars, I mean, I love it. Darren, you're not that into it.
I'm just not a sci-fi person, really, which is bizarre coming from someone who loves Doctor Who.
But he was really influenced by all the serials and things like that. Flash Gordon, he was really influenced by, and you get the, as you say, the serial feeling of this.
Yeah, it's superb. I love it, and it's so well done, so well done. And Spielberg as well is, you know, his mise en scène, his framing of shots and stuff like that. It's second to none. And this, you know, when he's riding high, he is at the top of his game here.
He's been going a good time by then, hasn't he? He's like, good.
Well, Jaws was 74.
Fuck him.
Yeah. And he did stuff before Jaws. You know, he did Duel and stuff like that. So he's been around a long time at this point. And like I say, he's at the top of his game. And it shows.
Fandabby dozy.
Were they in it? That's the one thing that maybe could have improved the show.
Well, the cranky's being in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just popping up.
Fandabby dozy. Yeah.
Just wee Jimmy Cranky behind. Wee Jimmy Cranky. Right, just behind Willie.
Yeah.
What?
There's a line in itself, isn't it?
I think I know what's making the trailer.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. What I also like, you know, the escape.
Mm.
After all the mayhem with the antidote and the diamond and stuff, putting his hand inside, copping a quick feel.
Yep.
Dirty swine. And the escape, you know, jumping into the car with short round driving. I love it.
I love that too. I love all that up until the plane as well. And then the plane takes off. I was expecting, and we did get, didn't we, a bit of the famous Indiana Jones map. I don't know if you've got more to say around about that area of the film, but for me, when it starts to get to the village stuff and beyond, that's where it starts to slow up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it does. It's got to set the story up.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. One thing I wanted to go back and just say about that was
yeah,
the Wilhelm scream is in there. you know what the Wilhelm scream is?
I've heard of this. Enlighten me again.
It's the scream that has appeared in over 400 movies and TV films and stuff like that. I think it's from a 1940s or 50s movie.
Right.
And it's a classic sound effect that is still being used now. And it's that scream that sort of goes... And I'm recreating it. I'll drop it in. But if you listen for it, it's in Star Wars, it's in all the indie films, it's in Doctor Who, for God's sake. Yeah, and that's the Wilhelm scream. I just thought it was interesting.
No, but also, on that, yeah. I noticed as the credits were going last night, Ben Burtt was the sound designer.
Right.
He's also the guy that did Star Wars.
Right.
So he came up with the lightsaber sound.
Nice.
And there are certain Star Wars sound references in the film.
Not just sound references either.
That's one of my questions gone, right?
Anywho, yeah, so No More Parachutes, one of the best lines ever from any film and delivered so well.
It's the fact that pilots are tippy-toeing past them. It's like, shh, they will never know. We're just going to sneak out.
Yeah. And they're still asleep when they open the fucking door.
Yes, a plane door opens and they're still like, nah, it's all right.
You can't hear anything, I'm fast asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that made for me, anybody I think would be absolutely terrified. Wake up and you look and the pilots are gone. God she went to check though.
Yeah.
Don't know why she popped up front. I mean, no. Get some refreshments.
Why the fuck is the door open?
Yes. Can we shut that door, please?
Please. So yeah, then the plane crash is I mean it's a hokey effect now. It looks pretty shit.
Yeah, well some holds up all right, some mm-hmm. not so much. I mean
yeah.
the raft going out,
it looks great.
Looks fucking yeah. brilliant, and yeah. they must have done something pretty
to keep it upright as well.
Yeah,
I mean for it just not to flip around and. I wonder how many outtakes there are of that.
Yeah, probably. I know it's a film, and I'm watching it, and I was hoping that that it wouldn't flip. I'm like, oh no, I hope they don't flip. They'll hurt themselves. And I'm thinking, of course it's not going to flip. It's Indiana Jones.
Exactly. But there's a few, when they're sort of riding down the mountain on the raft, there's a few hokey, chromicky bits, or green screen bits.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a 36-year-old film, so we've got to go with it, I suppose. And then, like you say, we drift down the river and get to the Indian village. Of the stereotype villages.
Yeah. And that's where it sort of slows up for me a little bit. There's a lot of exposition, not just there, but going into, I mean, obviously they get to the palace, but when they get to the sort of palace place as well, there's a lot, it sort of grinds to a halt a little mm-hmm. bit. And I was kind of going, ooh, I don't remember any of this.
Right. I guess after such a big opening, such a frenetic, frantic opening, it's got to put the brakes on a little bit. But for me, it's a bit too much. It's
A
little too long to get going.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you, 100%.
There was a bit, though, in the village, which I guess it's maybe another Spielberg trope, but there's a bit where Indy's listening to the shaman, and he's doing something with his hands.
On his headphones or something.
Easy good.
Easy good.
Nice. He's listening to the shaman talking about blah, 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 and he's doing something with his hands across his face, and Short Round copies him. And it just, it's a direct copy, if you like, from Jaws. I know you've not seen it.
No.
But Brody, Roy Scheider's character, does exactly the same, and his little son copies him at the dinner table as well. And I really like that. It's little things like that I really like. But I guess, like I say, it's a Spielberg trope in this instance.
Yeah.
Oh, and also when they're out talking about what they're going to do, there's a shooting star just goes over.
Oh, I didn't notice
which
that.
They also do in Jaws as well.
Oh,
when they're on the boat.
I didn't notice that.
And I think E.T. as well. Well, yeah.
It's a nice section when they're camping, isn't it? When
she's very funny. She's a very good comedy actress.
Yeah, and it's very physical, the whole running around with pulling off the snake, so to speak. But it is nice where you find out a bit more about how Indy knows Short Round and you know.
I read a little story about the snake.
Oh, yeah?
They are filmed in Sri Lanka.
What's he up to now? Is he in Vegas washed up?
He was washed up after the film. He could never get the same high. Yeah. Had a crack habit. But the snake wrangler, owner... Mm-hmm. Whatever you call him, trainer, don't know. Travelled to Sri Lanka with the snake, and they weren't keen on letting him into the country or into the hotel, so they had to check into the hotel under a false name, Mr. and Mrs. Longfellow. I think that's brilliant. Yeah, that's cool.
That's weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like that. I think that's funny, Longfellow.
I do remember the palace stuff.
Right. And then we get to the palace, yeah.
I do remember. Sorry, did you want to say about the camping stuff?
No, that's where we are.
No, you're right, though. She is funny. She's very funny. But at the palace, I do remember the monkey brains. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sticks in your head as a kid, doesn't it?
I think everyone remembers the monkey brains.
But for me, that's why this film feels alien to me. I thought that was probably in about the first 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Right. It's one of those films that's on every Christmas when you're a kid. Every Christmas. And then maybe you think that you know it. And then years later, you're like, oh, I really don't know it.
I mean, there's lots of it. It's actually quite violent. A lot more violent than I remember. The bit with the kebab skewer in the opening scene. That's very violent. But I sort of remembered that. The whole cutting open of the snake and the eels coming out. It's quite gross. There's lots of violent things and gross. And as we'll get to later, the whole Kalima with the beating heart in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot more violent than I sort of remembered, really. Maybe with the fact that everyone's a pussy now, we don't see that sort of thing in a family movie.
But yeah, well, that's the thing. It should be a family movie, you know.
But it was then, you know. We didn't give a shit, but you wouldn't
show that to like an 8-year-old now, though.
Not now, like I say, because they're all fucking pussies. They're all mollycoddled bunch of. So yeah, they get to the palace.
I think for those of you can't see, obviously you can't see. I'm taking Darren's drink away from him now.
You started it, but silly non-facts.
My silly non-facts.
But yeah, so after the meal, there's almost sexy time. He almost gets the girl.
Yeah, and that's quite a weird exchange, isn't it? I like the exchange.
It's funny, but yeah.
And then when she kind of goes, right, Indiana Jones, this would have been the best night of your life or something like that. And he's there being strangled. And
yeah. And apparently he really damaged his back, didn't he, doing that?
Yeah,
he got sent away for surgery on his back. Yeah, see? Don't want to be messing around when you're of an age, Indiana.
Yeah, also this acting malarkey is hard. We know, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we used to.
Yeah. Never been paid millions for doing it, though.
No.
Not yet, anyway. So, yeah, and then they go down into the caves.
That's where the film really starts for me, is like seeing. But I don't know about you. I remember, I don't know, I'm misremembering this film so much.
Right.
I remember more booby traps and stuff like that. I don't know why. I remember it being more.
Maybe you're mixing it up with the first one, because I mean the whole opening section. Yeah, it's
in a cave.
But also, did you notice that? I'm sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But when they're watching the whole heart ripping out sequence, and Indy goes down to collect the stones, and Willie and Shortrand are left, and they get caught by the goons. I'm sure that cave set is the same cave set used in Goonies.
Really?
Just the bit where they, you know, before they get to One-Eyed Willie's ship.
Yeah.
The narrow. I'm sure that's the same. It might just be coincidence.
Funny you should say that.
Pretty much around the same time.
I wrote a little thing, kind of going, what the fuck is it with people in elaborate caves and stuff like that? Because you know, One-Eyed Willie's. Here.
Yeah.
Well, nice. I really, like all these booby traps. This one, there's an entire contraption built to lower somebody down, and I'm like, just chuck them in.
Just
throw them in.
Ceremonial.
I know. But some poor fucker had to carve that stone, and
get a fucking, you know, a manufacturer a ceiling that shrinks down and sticks out spikes.
There we go.
Yeah. Love it.
I mean, that's it. In such detail. Yeah. Right, okay, guys. So what I'd like is, Bob, would you mind building the spikes on this one? And what there's going to be is...
Such an Indian name.
Yeah, but also, we need a safety release just in case somebody gets trapped in there that shouldn't be in there. So
put some cockroaches in there.
Yeah. Fine, we want bugs there, so we don't want people to find it.
Oh, no. What about if I get trapped inside? Oh, Bob, don't worry about that. It'll be fine, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, ridiculous. But great. But again, those set pieces are what really make the film. You know, it's the whole opening, like we said, the plane ride, the shrinking room, the Kalimar thing.
With the shrinking room, is that the one time it happens with the hat, or is that in every film? Yeah, when he gets out and he has to pull his hat through.
It definitely happens in the end of the opening sequence in the first film.
Right, okay, so then it's obviously a nod to that.
Yeah. But I mean, I love all that sort of thing. Those set pieces are what really make the film shine for me. And they look so good, so good. The bit where he reaches under to grab his hat, I actually went, fucking hell. Because it's so close to crushing his arm.
Have you ever Indiana Jones'd it?
I don't have the energy.
No, I have. I've definitely done it.
You've rolled under a door?
No, no. But things like getting the last tube or something like that. I've sort of jumped and things. And elevators, I know I've run and jumped through. Yeah. And Indiana Jones, I mean, I didn't have a hat, but...
Slags.
Oh, yes.
See, we can't just say that without you telling the story.
Yeah, so we like watching Mickey Flanagan, don't we?
The man's a genius.
And he tells this whole story about how he likes to be on holiday and... You got these couple of old dears. He holds the doors open for me and they walk through and they don't say thank you. So he holds more doors open for me and walk through and they don't say anything. So he then gets to the elevator and it looks like he's holding as they walk towards it. And they get towards the elevator and he shuts the elevator doors and says, slags. So we love that bit. And obviously, I did not tell it anywhere near as good as Mickey Flanagan, but we were on holiday and I saw Darren walking towards the elevator door and it just started to shut and I went, slags. Yeah. All I heard was you laughing.
Yeah. He didn't just do it once, though. He did it at least twice. Maybe three times. And I got you back.
You
as
did
well.
Get me back.
Slags. Oh, genius. Genius. Where were we?
Oh, yeah.
The room.
Indiana Jones, yeah. Let's get back there, shall we?
Fuck it, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you get that, and then you know we're into the. But they find the children. They find the children, and what a theme! The John Williams theme, the children's theme, is super. The March of the Children, it's like, and you know, it's iconic. And you can tell when something's iconic because you know, Family Guy rip it off.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, and then so they go through the ceremony and all that sort of thing with the Kalima, and he finds the kids, and then he gets found, and they make him drink the blood, and that for me is a real dip. It's just full of panic.
Where he goes underneath.
He's underneath, he's having his trauma or torment a bit, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Maybe hallucinations, yada, 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 and they're tied up, and the whipping. Although...
You like the whipping.
I like the... But did you hear the trivia thing about the whipping?
I'm not sure I did.
So at one point, when they're doing a take, and apparently this has all been filmed, I'd love to find it and see it. Harrison Ford's tied to the rock being whipped, and they substitute the guy's whipping for Barbara Streisand.
No.
And she whips him and says something about, this is for whatever film from like 1977. You need to pay for this because it was shite or something. And then, what's her face, Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher comes out to save him. It's all been staged. It's brilliant. And he doesn't know, apparently.
Is this anywhere
I would hope
on YouTube?
So. I literally heard about it or read it tonight just before I came out.
Oh.
So we've got to try and find it. Yeah. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, just to stitch him up.
Let's just know that if we do find it, we'll leave a YouTube link in the show notes.
If he remembers.
If I remember.
And another little thing I heard as well, during the mine car chase, Kate Capshaw got a black eye. So the next day when she came in, they all had given themselves black eyes.
Nice.
See, that's nice.
It's a nice camaraderie on set.
Yeah, even if he does sound a bit of a dick. But.
Yeah. So we got all that stuff, don't we? And then we have Short Round Saving. But that's, again, when the film really picks up, is the mine car.
Yeah. But again, it's so fucking long.
Oh, I just watched it and I went, I'd love to go on that roller coaster.
Oh, of course. It's obviously a roller coaster that you've built in a studio somewhere.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I think the sound effects were actually roller coaster.
A Floridian roller coaster, apparently, yeah.
Floridian.
I don't even know if that's the right word, but there we go. Yeah, but that bit just goes on too long for me. And it's a bit silly in places. But,
right.
But, I suppose the whole film is supposed to be silly. It's an adventure. Well,
they were saying about, it says you want to go left, which is the safe way.
Yeah.
And left was, like, I think, blue and right was red.
Yeah.
And it was very much an homage to Star Wars, you know, the blue being the light side and the red being the dark side
of the
Force. But
then the next bit when they go left and the baddies go right, the bit for me that didn't make sense is when they come back on the same track, they then come down from the left to join.
Yeah.
Come on, boys, get this right. Get this
yes,
right.
Okay.
And also, just before that, all the extras in the background going, but not actually fucking do anything, just waving their arms.
Well, that's because they're village people.
Hey. Oh, not doing YMCA. Nice, nice. And Indiana Jones slap Short Round.
Yeah.
It's bad, isn't it? Poor little bugger.
Yeah, well, he had to sell the, you know.
Yeah, true, true. And another thing at the end of the thing, why didn't he just...
Oh, yeah, that thing that you're talking about there, yeah.
You've changed.
Yeah.
Another thing... at the end of the mine car chase. Why don't you just climb across the front and use his foot to press the brake?
I said exactly the same thing. So he's putting it on the wheels. I'm like, yeah, but...
There's a stump of wood there.
Put your foot on the brake.
Yeah, I
thought exactly the same thing. Yeah. You're not alone in that. As soon as that finished, I was watching it and I went, why did that not happen?
But to be fair, we're just being pernickety.
We are. But then why leave that bit at the front?
I agree.
Because they left it in shot.
Just kick the stump, as it were. For God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the great section on the rope bridge. Iconic.
It scares the piss out of me. Yeah. I mean, I'm really scared of heights. And just looking at that.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want to be an extra on that day, would you?
No. That was filmed over a long time as well. In Sri Lanka, there was bits filmed in, I think it was Elstree as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've rabbited a lot about...
But it's a big film, you know, it's our 20th episode.
A bit too long as well, apparently.
Yep.
So, you know what, I largely enjoyed it. And I think that it's not without faults.
I still love it. I still fucking love it.
Yeah, I loved it. But I just didn't expect that slow section. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean... You know, we say every time, maybe it's 20/20 eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting your money's
worth. We haven't said that in a while, have we?
No, we haven't. You know, nearly 2-hour film in 1984 when you went to see it in the cinema. So, yeah, definitely getting your money's worth. But now it just feels it has a couple of lulls where it could be it could be tightened up a bit, I think.
I think I didn't mind it so much when I was growing up because it has become, you know, a bit of a background Christmas film as well. So it's on in the background. You're like, okay, carry on, boys. I'll be here playing with my new toys.
And you also get to see Kate Capshaw's boobies.
Well, on that note then, I suppose we should take a quick break and come back and talk about the cast.
Yeah.
This month's special Patreon episode is available now. This week we are going to be looking at some favourite songs.
The year we're looking at is 1981.
It's been very, very hard.
I just want you to edit it so you've just gone, it's very hard.
That's one of your top five songs of the whole fucking year.
And what a drum solo.
Yeah. And it's one of those songs that when I do, it's guaranteed to get people up on the floor dancing.
See, this is going to be a 30-40 minute advert for Darren, the ultimate 80s tribute.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, did you say something?
Nothing.
No.
It's a montage song.
You make my dreams come true. Put off the top spot by What the Matter You? Hey, girl, I don't know. I mean, that's a fucking injustice. The feeling is gone, only
you and I. It means nothing to me. I mean, the one I almost put on the list, I'd said to Darren earlier, was Rabbit by Chaz and Dave. So there we are. Those are our top fives from 1981.
All 80s Adventure Patreon special episodes are available via subscription from the website patreon.com/80sadventure or check out 80sadventure.co.uk for further details.
And we're back. Yes, we are. Second part tonight of our look at Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
It's also episode 20, Darren, so you know what that means.
Uh-oh. Yep, you heard it right. Matt's got the Secco out.
Oh, yes, I do.
Episode 20, can you believe that?
I know. So the next time we do this will be episode 30.
Oh, jeebus. That's going to be New Year.
It will be.
Wowzer.
2021.
Let's hope it's fucking better than 2020.
The 2020's been great. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to do everything we always wanted to do in 2020. Got to go to Spain, got to go to Rewind.
Got to do a podcast, though, so that's nice.
That is true. We've got to talk to all you lovely people out there. Fucking hell, I am pissed.
So let's look at the cast. And
yes,
it's a good cast. Oh. It's a good strong cast. I know we sometimes go and work up to the main man, but it is Indiana Jones. So let's blow some smoke up Harrison Ford's ass, because
Harrison Ford's
and that's without any prosecco. He's great. He's
just superb. He's your quintessential hero. He looks like a leading man.
Being a sequel, I didn't see a lot of alternate castings, but let's quickly chat about the alternate casting that almost was.
Okay.
So did you not know this? Originally, They'd asked Tom Selleck to play Indiana Jones.
Oh.
And he had to turn it down because of Magnum.
I can see that.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So he literally had the role, was going to play it, and then he had done Magnum and he couldn't get out of it.
I never knew that. Never knew that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can see that. I just assumed, you know, with the whole Lucas thing, it was going to be him all along.
I think he didn't want to use Harrison Ford because he, you know, Han Solo and...
But also, they were probably busy doing films anyway, weren't they?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh.
So, yeah, we could have had a very different...
Yeah.
I wouldn't be upset with that because I love Tom Selleck.
Absolutely. And another guy who still looks pretty much the same today.
Yes, he does, the bastard.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
It's annoying, isn't it?
You know what I forgot to do, don't you?
What's that? Have a drink?
There we go.
Cheersy.
Cheersy. Happy 20th episode.
Oh, listen, and also, those who are writing in and giving us reviews and stuff, we do love it when you use the word cheersy, so thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, let's start it trending. That'd be great, whatever that means.
Hashtag cheersy.
Yeah, pound cheersy.
He's great, and yeah, you're right, Tom Selleck would have been as well.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we got this one.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so glad we got
this
one.
And he's fucking bulked up for this movie.
Yeah, he did say he worked out for it.
Spawny little git. He looks amazing.
Were you... I don't know, watching it alone?
Oh, I have been nobbing my hand, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But that's for the next star.
Kate Capshaw.
Oh, she's amazing. And so funny. I love her. I absolutely love her.
She is funny.
Yeah.
She's really funny. Apparently, she had to be taught how to scream.
Oh,
really? Or something like
that.
Some,
do ladies not know that straight from the off?
Apparently, she had to be taught how to scream, but boy, did she take that new skill and run with it.
Yeah.
Fucking
hell. She got that off her chest.
She really did. I mean, I was watching it, and I'm not negging on it. But,
negging?
Yeah, I know, right?
But you're 42, man. Jeebus.
I mean, she does scream a lot in this.
Yeah.
Like, an awful lot.
She's a lady. She's scared. She's very delicate. She's a little flower.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know Darren, he's definitely got his tongue firmly planted in his buttocks. So, Kate Capshaw, she's really good. She's funny.
She's amazing.
But she does fucking scream an awful lot. And I suppose, to be honest, Darren, I would scream a lot too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too.
All those bugs, I would be shitting.
Luckily, there are no spiders, because that would have made me... Snakes, I think I can handle. I'd love to ride on an elephant. Poor fucking elephant having me on its back.
The only thing I would say is I'd probably scream higher pitched than Kate Capshaw if I saw the amount of bugs.
That's true. And my tits are definitely bigger. I didn't ask for them, they just appeared.
And that's it, though. And she ended up marrying Spielberg.
Yes. Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, there was apparently a line cut from the fourth film.
That's the fourth film? Sorry, carry on.
That references Willy and says, oh, whatever happened to... Oh, please. That references Willy and says something like, whatever happened to Willy? And Indy comes back with the line, oh, she married some big director or something.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, but a bit too knowing, I think. So it didn't make the final cut. So, and I think that's right.
Okay.
But I love her. I think she's fantastic. She's funny. She's a very funny actress. Her comic timing is superb. But also, yeah, she's, again, it goes without saying, but sometimes it's not. She's always in the moment.
Yeah.
You all right? Got a wanker's whiplash?
Oh, no. Honestly, I've got a real bad neck ache.
You've got a neck ache?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seem a bit awkward, did you?
No.
What? I just asked you. Sexy time.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's great.
Kwan?
Yeah.
Our second Kwan.
Yeah. Again, you know, go back and listen to the Goonies episode to hear more of a review of him, but he's great in this. But
you liked him in this.
I did like him in this.
You preferred him in this to Goonies.
Absolutely.
And I think it was a really interesting thing. Apparently he went to the audition with his brother.
His brother, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how fucking annoyed must his brother be?
Oh, I'd chuck him out of the family. Fucker. But he was giving him notes or something, wasn't he? Saying, don't do that, do that, do that, do that, don't do that. Wow.
Yeah.
The little precocious bastard.
But being that young, I mean, before you're even a teenager, really, or mid-teens, and then having done Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and then moving on to do Goonies, I mean, that's...
But within a year?
Yeah.
Just a little fucker. I wouldn't have minded that fucking career.
Yeah, this is it. Wouldn't it have been nice, though, for him to have come back for the fourth one?
That's it. He does... I made a note. After Indy gives him a slap... He says, I love you. But the feeling's obviously not mutual because he's not in the third or the fourth film.
No.
or even the first, technically. Yeah. So he rescues him from the street or whatever. And then fucking bins him. Oh, that or he gets killed.
Oh, I mean, it'd be nice if they brought him back later, wouldn't it?
Unless he'd been killed. Wowzers. That won't make it. Anyway, yeah, so he's good in this. I like him. And he's got the immortal line, no more parachutes.
No more parachutes.
Fucking love it.
And then you got... It's an interesting mix. I geeked out at the beginning of the film where you had Roy Chow.
Roy Chow, yeah.
He played Lu Che.
Yeah.
I know him, not personally.
Right, okay.
But I'm a big fan of Bloodsport.
And, oh, yeah? You mentioned it.
And he trains Van Damme in that film.
He's got one of those faces that you just recognise and go, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's done a whole bunch of films. Yeah, he was great.
He's superb in this as well. He's only got, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stamps his mark. Fantastic. I love him.
Then you've got some interesting characters. Like, you got the Maharaja.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah, little fucker.
Yes.
I'm a little bastard. I do like the bit where, you know, the Short Round gives him a fucking good beating at the end.
But then he was under the spell as well, wasn't he?
Maybe. I don't know. Because he even in that first scene at the Monkey Brains meal, there's something about him that you just want to give a fucking backhander anyway, little bastard. But yeah, there's lots of characters that sort of come and go, and there's no... For me, I think the shortfall of the film, or the shortcoming of the film, was not having Denham Elliot in it again. He's in the first film.
Yeah, and there's no mention, is there?
No. But then I guess maybe they haven't met at this point, but of course they fucking have.
Yeah, I would say so.
He knew his father, didn't he?
Well, yeah, so of course they've met at this point.
So, I mean, maybe he wasn't available, maybe he was ill by that point, I don't know. I think... There's no other... It's just the three of them that you see all the way through. And it misses that sort of other person.
Yeah, and with the supporting characters, they kind of come and go. You know, that's the thing. I'm sorry, I clicked my fingers then. But they do. Because, like, you've got the Major Domo, the guy that's sort of looking after...
Yes, yeah.
After the estate, and he trained... Well, not trained, he went to school in Oxford. And you're like, okay. But then you get this whole mishmash of other characters that... I don't know. I mean, we could talk about them, but you're talking one or two lines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like we said, they come and go. There's no other.
Well, you got the high priest guy.
Yeah.
So he was fucking terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. And the whole Kalima thing.
Mm.
As we said before, it's so violent. And I think most of the time you see it on TV, that's all cut out.
Yeah, there's a few bits that are gone, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. That
Kalima.
They're all great actors. They're just. It's very much the Indian, or the three of them show.
Mm. And rightly so.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to get onto John Williams.
Yeah.
So how about we drink this Prosecco?
Okie dokie.
We'll be back to you very shortly with some music and the end of the quiz.
Yeah.
What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you've got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back. Yes, for the final part tonight of our look at Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
The Temple of Doom.
So, yeah, now we're going to look at the music. And I'm so looking forward
really looking forward to talking about the music.
Yeah. This man, for me, he's the greatest film score composer of all.
Yeah, I mean, he's second only to... what?
Get out. I know it's your house. But get out.
What do you mean, house? We're in the studio.
I mean, I know it's your studio.
he's a genius. Now, an
absolute genius.
I'm not sure if we've told this story before.
I don't know.
We're normally drunk. So we went to watch John Williams' 80th birthday celebration in, 2012?
Yeah. He's now 88, so yeah.
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 And how amazing was that?
Oh, you know, it was just stunning. Absolutely stunning. It started... And I'm sure we booked the tickets when we were all drunk, obviously. So there were four of us that went, only two of us actually sat together.
It's waking up to a confirmation email from the Albert Hall.
We used to go out on a Wednesday night and get very drunk, and lots of things would get ordered or whatever. I mean, I ordered a fucking 55-inch TV when I got on Wednesday.
That's amazing. Yeah. Another friend of ours ordered an engraved phone, and he didn't know whether he'd engraved the phone. Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, so we went to see John Williams, the 80th birthday concert at the Albert Hall. But I think the Royal Philharmonic BBC Philharmonic.
No, it was the Royal Philharmonic, definitely. I found the ticket the other day.
Oh, yeah, nice. But we're sat there, you know, like me and Sez together, Matt behind us and Mark a few rows behind that. And it was it. My heart instantly skipped a beat.
I cried. I cried,
just
man.
Just superb. Man is a fucking genius.
There's no doubt about it. As in, there's some great scores out there. I mean, Alan Silvestri, Back to the Future.
Absolutely.
James Horner, Titanic, Danny Elfman with, some like the Batman score, the Beetlejuice stuff. There's some great, but he is...
Even Ennio Morricone, and then you're going back, but...
He is head and fucking shoulders.
And I keep gushing... But it's true.
What we need to do, if there is a 90th birthday celebration at the Albert Hall or something, we are buying tickets.
Yeah. The only thing for me that was a drawback is he wasn't there.
That he wasn't there, and you kept on pointing out the guy that was hosting it hadn't cleaned his shoes.
Did I? I don't remember that at all.
You were like, could have cleaned his shoes, the scruffy
bastard. Well, to be fair, it's better than trying to fucking start a fight with people behind you because they got lighty up.
I did not try and start a fight with them.
You were pissing and moaning about them all fucking lightsabers.
Well, it was great. It was funny. They put up lightsabers.
You see a fucking video on YouTube, fucking behind you, fucking.
So there was lightsabers happening behind me for the first bit of the Star Wars suite. Fine. Very funny for 30 seconds. 15 minutes into the Star
Wars
suite.
They're just having fun, you miserable bastard.
Yes, they are. And I'm trying to watch it.
They're behind you.
Right, panto.
Listen with your eyes, do you?
Fucking you panto hell. King. Yeah, so that was... I mean, I'm sorry, just talked a long time about a trip to the Albert Hall.
Yeah, couldn't do it this year.
He's brilliant, though. And, you know, so the March of the Children.
Superb. There's something about him that just... He can pick up on the essence of a scene and convey it in music. And I don't know how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talent. But fuck me, this man has got it in spades.
It is recognisable, though. I mean, that some of this music wouldn't sound out of place in Star Wars or Superman, because although they are appropriate to whichever film they're in, the destruction of Krypton is, like, that's such a great piece of music, but that wouldn't sound out of place in sort of, I don't know, Empire Strikes Back.
So in that respect, I suppose the music is interchangeable, but he uses leitmotif every time in every film. That's one of his tropes. And leitmotif basically is a theme, a recurring theme, either for a character or a place or something like that. And he does it so well.
I love it when you get technical.
Sorry.
I wasn't joking. I do love it when you get technical.
I fucking love John Williams. The man is a genius. But as I was saying about, you know, that he can enhance a situation, enhance a scene by picking out. You know, and it's not just a case of, you know, going with like something that sounds Asian for the March of the Children. I mean, I love Jaws. It's one of my favourite films. It would be in my top 10. But I can see that the effects are shite. By today's standards, but it's the feeling that his theme gives you. That film would not be half as good without his theme.
Well, the fact is, Darren, as I pour myself another Prosecco, would you like another one? Mm. Generally, like, people ask us, are you faking drinking while you're doing this?
No, that's why we get more and more slurry as we go along.
The poor bugger who has to edit it, eh?
Thanks. I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
So, the fact is, the people that have never seen Jaws that know the theme, like kids nowadays, like maybe 8 or 9, if you went, dun-dun, dun-dun, it's a part of the culture now.
Well, there's the game, isn't there? We've talked about this game so many times. Done the game so many times. And if you're at home... And you know, and you talk to someone about John Williams and they don't know who he is, just try this game. Just say, right, think of a film from the last 50 years, 56 years, that you know the music for very well, or a big famous film theme, name the film. And you know, chances are they say, oh, I don't know, Star Wars. And he's John Williams. Superman, John Williams. Indiana Jones, John Williams. Jurassic Park, John Williams. Schindler's List, John. You know, the list goes on and on and on. It's... There's a reason that the man holds the record for being the... Oh, I've got to go not the most alive man, but the person alive who holds the most nominations for Oscars. I think it's 52 Oscar nominations.
Fucking hell. Also, that I like to think way in down the future, so 400-500 years' time, in the same way, you know, that a lot of classical composers are still revered today, that John Williams will always live on.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think you're absolutely right. He can, you know, he can make you laugh. It's very difficult for music to be funny. But he can write a funny theme. He can write a theme that will make you cry. Schindler's List breaks my heart. I mean, it's not even the subject matter behind the film.
No, but the actual music is gorgeous,
listening,
isn't it?
Listening to that violin solo. It's just...
But also, there's something very funny about a lot of people when they have a few drinks with some friends, they'll have on some, I don't know, some pop music, whatever else. There's been nights where there's been a few of us and we've just had John Williams playing all night.
Exactly. Most of the nights have been around Christmas.
Yeah.
With the Home Alone thing. Which I had played at my wedding.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
We signed the registers. I mean, the man's a fucking genius.
I can't remember. I was really drunk.
Me too. I was really hungover. Yeah. don't tell my wife that. But, you know, he can do adventure. He can bring out the adventure in a scene. He can bring out the romance in a scene. He can fucking terrify you.
He can make a mediocre film great.
Yeah. Not that we're saying Indiana Jones.
No, I'm not saying that. Whoa. But personally, I'm not a big fan of Attack of the Clones, but the love theme in that is fucking gorgeous.
The man's a genius. And his pairing with Spielberg, it's one of cinema's classic pairings.
It's amazing.
It's as simple as that.
So the music is all right then, yeah?
Yeah, it's okay. The man sort of knows what he's talking about.
Well, I tell you what, let's... I guess it's just quick time to go into it. Yeah, we know exactly where we are.
Eyes down for a full house.
Well, as it stands for this round of 10 quizzes, it's 5-4 at the moment to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you win this quiz, we're up shit creek. So hopefully we won't have a tiebreak situation, but let's find out. Do you want to go first this week or second?
I went first last week, I think. Oh, well, I don't really remember. So why don't you go first this week?
Okay. Let me just put my bins on.
There we go.
Okay.
Ronnie's back.
Fuck you. Question one. What does the inscription that Indy translates say?
It says something about bringing life to the village.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, that'd be my final answer.
It says, follow in the footsteps of Shiva, do not betray his truth.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, yeah.
In a roundabout sort of way, yeah.
That's one to me.
Yeah, it was always going to be. I think I'm going to absolutely lose this.
I don't know.
Can I ask, so question number one for you is, how many years before Raiders of the Lost Ark is this set?
One. Well, it's set in 35 and Raiders set in 36.
Yeah, but I want more specific than I want months.
I'm joking.
12 No, months. It is one, yeah. No, there we go.
Okay. The song Anything Goes.
Yeah.
Who wrote it?
Cole Porter.
Okay, well, that's not the question. The question is...
Are you absolute fucking prick?
In what language does she sing it?
Cantonese.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
No, Mandarin.
Well, of course. Yeah, okay. There we are.
Okay, right.
You are stomping all over me. Which Hollywood actor shows Indiana Jones to the plane?
Dan Aykroyd.
Fuck you.
Okay. Okay, third question, as always, is complete the quote.
Yep.
And this is from Willie. Every time. So, Indiana Jones, this is one night you'll never forget. This is the night I slip right through your fingers. Sleep tight and pleasant dreams.
Yeah. Nope.
No. I could have been your greatest adventure.
Oh my God, yes. Now you said it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do the last question. There's no point, but the stone that was stolen.
Yeah.
What was it called?
I've got Shalimar in my head. I can't remember. Can't remember.
I think it's Shivalinga.
Okay. That's one to you. There we go.
Brilliant. That was pretty much a wash quick for me. Yeah.
Yeah. 5-1 to me.
Have you heard that before?
A washout?
No, no, it was quick.
Oh, every time. Fucking hell, yeah. Jesus,
well, that's it. So we, huh? So what we do is every 10 episodes, we reset. And so you've now won two sets.
Two sets of 10, yeah. Oh, so my two God. Nil to you in the 10-episode thang.
Do you know what I really want to get to? It's episode 50, where we have a big fucking showdown. Big and the entire episode is dedicated.
Be just questions.
Yeah, literally. Ah, so yeah. Well, I think, yeah, if we ever get
well,
to
don't
that.
Say that, because, you know, if it happens, people say, oh, you fucking manufactured.
No, we did not. We really like not. Every single time. Like it looked like you were going to completely smash me out of the water. This entire section.
Well, I had some other questions as well, but I thought you probably know. What's the name of the palace that Indy goes to?
Pancot.
Yeah, I thought you probably know that.
Because that was one of mine for you.
I had a fight with myself about whether to ask this right. or not. I'm not laughing at the situation. But get over it before we fucking say it. What's the name of the waiter in the Shanghai in the club?
No,
Wuhan.
All right, okay.
You know about Wuhan? It's the place where the whole coronavirus started.
Of course it is. Yeah, no, I was thinking Wuhan clan, but yeah, of course, right. Yeah.
yeah, this was a stitch-up question. In the palace, there's a band. How many piece band is it?
Six.
Four.
No, it was six. There was two.
two hiding.
Two that you can see, essentially.
What two symbols are on the gong at the beginning?
Symbols?
On the gong.
Yeah, symbols.
On the gong.
Yeah, snake?
No. It's that great bleed through, isn't there, from the Paramount Mountain onto the gong.
Yeah.
And what's the other one thing on the gong?
I don't know.
It's a dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. So
that was episode 20.
That was episode 20. I guess it's last orders.
Last orders.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Well, there we go. That was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And I guess the only thing left to do then is score the film.
Yeah. As I say, it was a different film to the one I remember.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not brilliant. If you'd asked me last week to score this film, I'd have gone, yeah, 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I've not watched it since I was a kid. I mean, so shall I go first this week?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a high score still, but it's not perfect. I'd say I'm torn between a 7 and an 8. And they're still high scores. I tell you what, I'm going to meet in the middle. 7.5.
Okay, interesting.
Really liked it.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
I still love this film. Absolutely. I would sit down on the Sunday afternoon and watch this film to my heart's content.
Oh, I would watch it over and over again.
As I did today. I love this film. It's great. It looks great. Yes, it lulls in the middle. Yes, it could be probably 15, 20 minutes shorter, but I still love it. And it still makes the little boy in me skip and jump.
You're going high.
I'm going high-ish. I'm going for an 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, then. It's about 15 and a half.
I love this film. It's great. Kate Capshaw's brilliant. She's so funny. Yes, some of the effects are a bit dodgy. Yes, it's really slow in the middle, but it's still good. It's one of those films from my childhood I'm still happy to watch. So that's Indiana Jones, then.
That is Indiana Jones. Well, listen, I'm going to raise a glass.
Yeah. To Steve and Johnny.
Steve and Johnny, but also episode 20, man.
It's been episode 20.
It's been a long journey. It's been a long journey.
Fuck off. Right then. Tell us all about next week, motherfucker.
Okay, next week. Obviously, you do not know this, Darren, but next week is...
I don't know what it is.
The tagline for next week's film is, Global Thermonuclear War. You may think it's one hell of a game. You couldn't be more right.
Threads. That was about nuclear war, wasn't it?
Yep. So, if you want to find out what that is, then please look at our Facebook on Wednesday.
Monopoly, that's a game.
Yeah, Monopoly, yeah, it's a game. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Nudie prod games.
What?
Huh?
Nudie games.
What now?
So I apologise for the Prosecco. So, if you do want to find out what it is, then please check out our Facebook on Wednesday and you will find out what the film is.
Sweet.
We have got quite the lineup to you coming up to Christmas. We've got an amazing lineup coming up.
Matt's making it to Thanksgiving. I don't even know what Thanksgiving is.
It's where you give thanks.
Okay, cool.
So that's it. That was Indiana Jones. Yeah. I'm glad we did that. And that was a really nice episode 20.
Yeah. Congratulations, everyone. Go ahead, drink.
Get yourselves a drink. Sipping.
Let us know what you think. Do you like Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom? You're an idiot if you don't. But just my opinion.
No. Daz, for once, I'll agree with you. You're an idiot if you don't. So on that note, I will say I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
See you soon.
Cheers.
Just sometimes wish they'd run away or get kidnapped and be made to work in a Temple of Doom. Na 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 na. Na 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 na.